From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We've got to stop this inhuman race.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Every week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news tonight, you'll hear about folks who are killing the planet and folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, and web addresses, so please go get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information I'm about to give you. Because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio. And I urge you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down at the road blockade. If you have information, announcements, or comments for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact addresses later on in the show. Wanted to start out by giving a big howdy to the folks in South Minneapolis who are listening to Earth First Radio on Free Radio Twin Cities from 7 to 8 p.m. on Thursday nights, 92.9 FM. Hey, thanks for listening, folks. Really appreciate it. There's quite a few of you out there now tuning in. All right. Want to let folks know that Green Fire Productions has introduced a new environmental website that features streaming videos about major conservation issues. Here's the address, www.greenmedia.org. Currently, you're featured protecting ancient forests on public lands, preserving wilderness areas and wildlife habitats in Southern Oregon and Washington State, and encouraging faith-based environmentalism. The site was created by Green Fire Productions, a 10-year-old nonprofit organization based in Portland, Oregon, and works with environmental and social change organizations to produce and distribute communication tools. Green Fire was founded by two international award-winning filmmakers, Karen Patcher-Meyer and Ralph Meyer. The website features clips and order information for Green Fire's video productions, action ideas, sample letters, help locating elected representatives, opportunities to volunteer, links to related organizations. Information about the issues and campaigns are featured. Green Fire invites other environmental organizations to submit content ideas for development and hosting on the air. And end of the road 99, we don't need the government, we don't need the media, we can't allow ourselves to forget our ability to come together and change things for ourselves. We've struggled in the forests, we've struggled in the neighborhoods, we've struggled in the labs and in the grocery stores, we've struggled in the streets and on the reservations, we've used unions, collectives, flyers, liars, lockdowns, puppets, speakouts, monkey wrenching gatherings, rallies and radios. We've fought for trees, houses, food, water, freedom, justice, and an end to genocide. We have labored in isolation and in mass movements. In our separate struggles, we have learned much, and in the last year of the millennium, we have much to teach each other. This August 1st through August 6th, all opponents of global corporate destruction are welcome to an international green and black gathering in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home to the longest protracted direct action anti-road campaign in the U.S. for a week of workshops, action, and culture addressing. All right. If you want to get in contact with these folks, they are the End of the Road Collective, 3208 West Lake Street, number 83, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55416. Once again, that's End of the Road Collective, 3208 West Lake Street, number 83, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55416. Yeah, you can try them on the phone at 651-659-6356. Once again, that's 651-659-6356. 6356 or endoftheroad99@hotmail.com. That's endoftheroad99, all one word, at hotmail.com, or try their webpage at www.maganet.com/tildealo/endoftheroad99. Once again, the webpage is www.maganet.com/tilde, that's that funny little squiggle, /endoftheroad99, all one word. Hey, sounds like great stuff. And also coming up is Walk for the Wild Pelican Butte, August 6th, 7th, and 8th, the Oregon Natural Resources Council and the Northwest Trails Archive and Restoration Project are sponsoring an event to hike and canoe at Pelican Butte. Help save the 11,000-acre unprotected wilderness area by showing your support for its protection. Let's see here. Once again, this is the canoeing is on August 6th, I guess, and the rest of the walk is on the 6th, 7th, and 8th. For more information, contact Northwest Trails Project, Post Office Box 842, Springfield, Oregon, 97477. That's Northwest Trails Project, P.O. Box 842, Springfield, Oregon, 97477. Or you can try their phone at 541-726-6154. That's 541-726-6154. Walk for the Wild Pelican Butte. Also coming up is the Rainforest Action Network's 11th Annual Rainforest Action Chautauqua. It's going to be held in Brevard, North Carolina, August 18th through the 23rd. Come to a gathering of the grassroots rainforest protection movement in the beautiful heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains at the edge of the Pisgah National Forest, just 20 minutes from Asheville, North Carolina. For more information, contact the Rainforest Action Network, 221 Pine, on the fifth floor, San Francisco, California, 94104. Once again, Rainforest Action Network, 221 Pine Street, fifth floor, San Francisco, California, 94104. Give them a call at 415-398-4404. That's 415-398-4404. Or rags@ran.org, rags@ran.org. Or you can try their webpage at www.ran.org. They're asking a $50 to $100 sliding scale, which will include all food, camping, cabins, and everything else. And no one turned away for lack of funds as long as you're willing to pitch in. Hosted by the Chautauqua Council, Earth Culture, and the Rainforest Action Network. Also in August, Women Celebrating Ourselves in Community, the 16th Annual Twin Oaks Women's Gathering, August 27th through the 29th. All kinds of stuff. Anyway, sliding scale there is $40 to $140, which includes camping and workshops. I guess food you have to bring your own. You must register by August 1st. Contact the Twin Oaks Women's Gathering at 138 Twin Oaks Road, Louisa, Virginia, Louisa, Virginia, 23093. Once again, that's Twin Oaks Women's Gathering, 138 Twin Oaks Road, Louisa, Virginia, 23093. Their email, gathering@twinoaks.org, gathering@twinoaks, all one word, .org. Phone number, 540-894-5126. That's 540-894-5126. The Northwest Regional Rendezvous is happening this weekend, July 9th through 12th, at the Gifford Pinchot National Forest in Washington. For information, contact 360-867-9054. That's 360-867-9054, or kim2@chickmail.com. That's K-I-M, the number 2, at chickmail.com. And the River Jam 6, a benefit for the Buckeye Forest Council of Ohio. Come join us on September 4th for a groovy all-day festival of music, art, and food featuring Dakota Sid, R.J. Cowdrey, Donna McGriver, Mogavero, I guess it is, Gary Hall, Bob Sauls, Mary Huff, and many others. The Possum Valley Arboretum and Wildlife Preserve is located at 5404 Prospect, Upper Sandusky Road. And I believe that's in Ohio, Sandusky, Ohio, I guess. Gates open at 11. Show starts at noon. $20 advance ticket sales only. Here's the phone number, 740-528-3333. That number again, 740-528-3333 for River Jam 6, a benefit for the Buckeye Forest Council of Ohio on September 4th. And the Forest Reform Rally will be held 10th through the 12th of September, a project of the Wild Utah Forest Campaign. A project of American Lands will be co-hosting the 13th annual Forest Reform Rally with the Forest Reform Network on September 10th through 12th. That's what I just said, folks. Be north of Salt Lake City on the Wasatch Cache National Forest in Utah on the border of the High Uintas. And it's beautiful up there, let me tell you. It's a really fun place to be. For further information, call Susan Ash at the Wild Utah Forest Campaign. Here's her address, 165 South Main Street, Suite Number 1, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84111. Once again, that's Susan Ash, Wild Utah Forest Campaign, 165 South Main Street, Suite Number 1, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84110. Here's a phone number, 801-539-1355, 801-539-1355, or WUFC at xmission.com. That's WUFC at xmission.com. All right, more announcements. Bill Willers, founder of the Superior Wilderness Action Network, or SWAN, has come out with an anthology entitled Unmanaged Landscapes, Voices for Untamed Nature. It is a, quote, profound and winning collection of essays, according to Dave Foreman. And there are quotes from Andy Mahler or Julia Butterfly on the cover, too. The collection questions the assumption that all of the natural world should be considered open to human management, manipulation, and control. Is dedicated to SWAN, published by Owen Press, and includes pieces from John Muir, Henry Thoreau, David Brower, Sigurd Olson, Howie Wolk, John Seed, Joanna Macy, Carolyn Merchant, and Rachel Carlson. Look for it in bookstores. In action news, the latest action news is, in Oregon, tree sits are currently ongoing at Fall Creek, Eagle Creek, and Winberry. In California, Julia Butterfly is, of course, in a couple of days, headed into her 19th month, sitting up in Luna. And looks like there's still a tree sit going on Freshwater Creek. But even though logging is occurring on Freshwater Creek, there's still a tree sit up there. And coming up very soon, there may be a tree sit in the Greenwood area. There's currently a court injunction against logging in the Greenwood, but come July 19th, that all may change. So that's the action update. Here's our activist update. Long Beach, July 2nd, three members of the international environmental organization Greenpeace were sentenced to a month in jail each for their part in a protest over the importing of timber from Canada's ancient forests to the port of Long Beach. Omi Hodwitz, Pat Finn, and Bernard McLeod were each given a sentence for trespassing aboard the Thorsigan, a ship carrying over 8,000 tons of newsprint cut from Canada's Great Bear Rainforest. The Great Bear Rainforest, located in the southwest coast of British Columbia, is the largest remaining unprotected tract of ancient temperate rainforest left on Earth. Over the course of the three-day protest, activists, including those sentenced, hung from the ship's crane bearing a banner that read, "Stop destroying the Great Bear Rainforest," according to Matthew Jacobson, forest issues specialist at Greenpeace. Quote, "The American people have made it clear that they oppose the destruction of the Earth's last remaining ancient forest. The purpose of the action aboard the Thorsigan was to show a connection between the destruction of ancient forests abroad and the U.S. marketplace. A large percentage of the Earth's ancient forests wind up in lumber, newsprint, and even toilet paper in the U.S. The destruction of these forests is unnecessary, and alternative sources for these products are readily available," unquote. Following the action, Fletcher challenged the manufacturer of the newsprint, made contact with Greenpeace to initiate dialogue and address Greenpeace's concern. Both Fletcher Challenge and Norsk, the owner of the Thorsagen, requested that the case be dropped, but the state of California persisted in its quest for a conviction of the activist. In a letter presented to the judge, Norris requested that the activist not be sentenced to jail time. Quote, "We're certainly disappointed in the state's decision to take this strong stand against what was clearly a nonviolent exercise of their First Amendment rights, but we stand by our actions," said Omi Hodwitz. "While we disagree with the charges, we were well aware of the risks we were taking, and we're prepared to face the consequence. 80% of the Earth's original ancient forests have already been degraded or destroyed. If this is the price we have to pay to protect the remaining 20%, we're prepared to do so." The three activists were released on bond pending appeal, unfortunately. It took a while to get them out of jail. If you'd like more information, contact Matt Jacobson, Forest Issues Specialist in Long Beach. His number, 202-256-1441. That number again, Matt Jacobson, 202-256-1441. And let's move into international news here. Drought is killing northern Mexico. It may have been the worst drought in Mexico's history, drying up all the water sources in the country's northern states. Reservoirs, rivers, and waterfalls are disappearing, and cattle are dropping dead by the thousands as agricultural fields lie barren like deserts. The lack of rain is a big factor, but environmentalists say deforestation and poor water management practices are factors as well. And from Chile, we read that the Council for the Defense of the State demands millions of dollars, that's millions of pesos, excuse me, for the destruction of the shell middens of Ilke. Judicial action was presented against the Compañía Industrial Puerto Montt, which plans the Cascadia Chile project. The Council for the Defense of the State has demanded that Cascadia Chile pay a fine of 400 million pesos, that's about $425,000, as indemnification for the presumed archaeological damage done to the shell middens at Bahia Ilke. Puerto Montt Industrial SA has begun construction of a port and an oriented strand and chipboard plant with an investment of $200 million on the site. The legal action ruled as a summary judgment for reparations and indemnification for environmental damages was presented by the lawyer for fiscal procurement of Puerto Montt. Counsel for the Defense of the State, Lucio Diaz Rodriguez, before the Second Court of Puerto Montt. The writ was directed against Compañía Industrial Puerto Montt, specifically for their legal representative, Robert Crawford, an American based on Articles 53 and 54 of Environmental Law 19.300 in Chile. Said articles established the possibility of initiating legal actions to effect compensation for damages. The deeds were allegedly committed last year when heavy machinery dug a strip of land 10 feet deep and 360 feet long by 5 feet wide right over the shell middens of Bahia Ilke. This action destroyed identified archaeological sites named Ilke 1 and Ilke 2, discovered in August of 1998. The council argued that significant damage was done to the cultural heritage and made future research impossible. And by the way, that's all part of Boise Cascade's project down there. And we move to Colombia. In a step that threatens indigenous peoples' rights and territories, members of the Colombian government have moved to abolish many of the licenses and impact assessments required for mineral oil, logging, and hydroelectric projects. Colombia's fragile ecosystem and the rights of Colombia's indigenous peoples, the latter which have been procured through decades of struggle and martyrdom, are under attack from members of the government of President Andrés Pastrana and of the Colombian Congress, who are attempting to eliminate these important environmental licensing procedures. In recent weeks, the President of Colombia has enacted a presidential decree which threatens to significantly weaken the licensing and impact assessments required by the nation's Ministry of the Environment for mineral oil, logging, and hydroelectric projects. This move appears to be aimed at appeasing transnational corporations, which were very critical of the environmental and social requirements regulating the resource extraction schemes. Now members of the Colombian Congress are working to pass the decree into more permanent legislation. The licensing procedure as it has stood has helped to safeguard the constitutionality and internationally sanctioned rights of Colombia's indigenous communities to cultural, physical, and territorial integrity. It requires a study of the consequences of projects on local ecosystems and communities, as well as consultation with effective groups. The UWA and leaders from a majority of Colombia's some 80 indigenous pueblos have asked international organizations and individuals concerned about indigenous rights, biodiversity, human rights, ecological balance, and cultural sovereignty to pressure the Colombian government and Congress to uphold the environmental licensing procedures. Here's some addresses. Presidente Andrés Pastrano Arango, Presidencia de la República, Casa de Nario, N-A-R-I-O, Santa Fe de Bogotá, Colombia. All right, here's an email, pastrana@presidencia.go.co. And that's P-A-S-T-R-A-N-A at Presidencia, P-R-E-S-I-D-E-N-C-I-A at, or excuse me, .go.co. And in, from China, we read that as part of a plan to manage forest resources over the long run, China has imposed a ban on logging in selected forest states. At the end of 1999, the ban is expected to extend to about 53 million hectares, about 130 million acres, which represents more than 60% of China's forests. Chinese press reports have estimated that the ban will create an annual shortfall of nearly 15 million cubic meters of timber, about 6.36 billion board feet, which is about one-fourth of the current supply. The U.S. Embassy in Beijing expects the policy, coupled with an increasing demand for wood products in China, to significantly boost lumber imports to China in the near future. And the Australian government is acting to protect seals by creating a large new marine park, three-quarters the size of the state of Victoria, around the World Heritage-listed Macquarie Island. This week, the government issued a notice of intent to establish the marine park on the eastern side of the remote island, situated in the Southern Ocean, 1,500 kilometers, that's about 1,000 miles southeast of Tasmania. And closer to home, the Navajo Nation has filed suit in U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C., seeking recovery of $600 million in damages from the Peabody Western Coal Company for unlawful acts defrauding the Navajo Nation. The lawsuit alleges that Peabody has virtually stolen the Navajo Nation's strategically located, uniquely valuable high BTU and low sulfur coal at far below market value. And from British Columbia, we read, natives, environmentalists, and forestry giant Macmillan Bloedel signed an agreement late last week, actually a couple of weeks ago, to end 20 years of protests over the huge original growth trees of Vancouver Island's Clackawatt Sound. The deal will set aside most of Clackawatt Sound on the west coast of Vancouver Island, preventing logging of old growth trees. Macmillan Bloedel says it will not log in any of the region's unlogged valleys that are larger than 1,000 hectares, about 2,500 acres. The Memorandum of Understanding was signed by Elisak Forest Resources Limited, a new forestry venture in Clackawatt Sound, and Greenpeace Canada, Greenpeace International, and the Natural Resources Defense Council, the Sierra Club of British Columbia, and the Western Canada Wilderness Committee. Elisak Forest Resources is 51% owned by Central Region First Nations of the Nuu-Cha-Nilth Tribal Council and 49% owned by Macmillan Bloedel. The economic development of Clackawatt Sound will depend not on clear-cutting of the old trees, but on small-scale logging, non-timber forest products, and the lucrative promise of ecotourism. The First Nations, environmental groups, and the Macmillan Bloedel representative for Lisak said in a statement that the agreement is based on trust and understanding, but has no force in law. And in more recent news, the news of Weyerhaeuser's purchase of British Columbia logging company Macmillan Bloedel has environmentalists all across the U.S. and Canada in a state of concerned anticipation. The sale came just days after Macmillan Bloedel signed a memorandum of understanding with environmental organization and Canadian Indians not to log in pristine forest areas within the company's British Columbia holdings. Last year, Macmillan Bloedel instituted a new logging plan to phase out clear-cutting on old-growth forests. Weyerhaeuser has yet to comment on whether it will honor these commitments. Weyerhaeuser is teetering on a precipice, said Rainforest Action Network campaign's director Christopher Hatch. If the company honors Macmillan Bloedel's commitment to lessening the strain on the Earth's last old-growth forests, it could become the world's leader in ancient forest preservation. If it doesn't, Weyerhaeuser will have its market ripped apart by blockades, protests, and high-profile demonstrations, the likes of which haven't been seen in decades. And that's it for the news for this half hour. To get news announcements or comments from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, send us email at cruzief@cruzio.com. That's C-R-U-Z-E-F at C-R-U-Z-I-O.com. Or send your letters, donations, CDs, cassettes, whatever you got to Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Once again, that's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Be sure to send all those announcements at least 3 weeks in advance if you want to get them on the air on time. Uncle Dennis sure likes to do that for you. If you want more in-depth news and information about the Earth First movement, subscribe to the Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. That's the Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. Low-cost subscriptions start about $15. Regular subscriptions are $25 per year. Earth First Radio is broadcast live from Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, every Thursday at 8 p.m., or you can listen to Earth First Radio anytime on your computer. Just dial up the World Wide Web at radioforall.web.net. That's radio, the number 4, all.web.net, radioforall.web.net. You'll need a sound card, but the software you need can be downloaded for free from the website. Earth First Radio is being rebroadcast on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. If you found us on the web, ask your local station to download and rebroadcast Earth First Radio. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney from his CD Keep It Wild. Earth First Radio is affiliated with the Earth First Radio Network. I'm Uncle Dennis. Thank you for listening, and please tune in again. And now we're going to go to the CD If a Tree Falls, and I believe we're going to listen to a little ditty called Trees Like to Rot in the Forest, and this one's by the Tinklers.
Well, I'm not a voice here in Free, but as I was sitting here last week, listening to my rocking chair squeak, it seemed like it was trying to speak. It said trees like to rot in the forest and rest among the fungus and the leaves. Their trunks growing softer and porous, shaded by the younger towering trees. Well, I like to carve stuff from wood, but maybe as friends of the woods, we don't do exactly what we should. 'Cause trees like to rot in the forest, so woodpeckers and little animals can have a home. Their trunks growing softer, to be finished with their softer and